My friend, your role as a father is critical. You are so important. Three nuggets that hit me from my conversation with Rodrigo today are: one, fitness is about choices. Two, provide your kids enough challenges to prepare them for life. Three, what am I missing? A question many men who have found themselves as fathers ask. What am I missing? And then a little bonus for you, how not to lose things in your home. Welcome to Fatherhood Field Notes Podcast, where I interview incredible fathers, gaining wisdom from their stories for you and I to continue to grow in our own pursuit and craft of fatherhood. I'm your guide, Ned Shout, father to five kiddos, currently ages 11 to 18, crazy, and husband to my rad wife, Sarah, working on our 20th year of marriage. So yeah, man, I am in the thick of it, and I am working daily to rebel against the low expectations that our culture sets for fathers, and I want to create a world where fathers know who they are as they show up for their families. You and I have such an incredible opportunity to impact our world simply through the way that we embrace our fatherhood role. This episode is brought to you by The Adventure of Fatherhood, helping men discover their powerful fatherhood role and build their fatherhood skills. The role of the father is to serve, guide, provide, protect, and of course, find joy in the messiness of it all. Today's guest is my friend Rodrigo. I learned so much during our conversation. I know you'll enjoy it. All right, Rodrigo, welcome to Fatherhood Field Notes. How are you feeling tonight, bro?
I'm stoked to be here. I'm talking about one of the two things I love the most in the world. So the first one being my kids. The second thing is CrossFit. That's how we met.
I know, dude. So sick. So people listening, like, Rodrigo did my CrossFit level one course where I'm holding a medicine ball in Hawaii by my pool while he's taking me and a few other people through all these movements for 3 hours while you were in Brazil. And I'm assuming you do these courses regularly.
Oh, yeah. These online courses I do twice or three times a month. So, yeah, pretty used to it. It's a different journey. I love coaching people, and being able to coach people all around the world is even better.
So rad. Yeah. How incredible. And then we're on the call and you had mentioned that you have three kids and you're just talking about your relationship with your kids. I'm like, this guy's rad. I would love to have him on the podcast and talk fatherhood and then get a different perspective too on your culture, your worldview around what it means to be a father. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you a couple questions right out the gate just to set the tone. How old do you find yourself today?
Wow. Today, I'm 37 years old.
Young. 37. Young. Yeah, yeah. And then with that, how long you been doing CrossFit?
Since 2008. So this will be the 16th.
Nice, dude. And then how long you been doing coaching with CrossFit?
12 years. 12, 13 years ago, I started this journey. I'm passionate as I was in day one.
Dude, I love it. Yeah. And I felt that. I saw that. It was incredible to get to learn from you. How many years you been married?
This is my second marriage. So okay. We've been together for 4 years.
Okay. Love it.
Because we met before, but we got together 2 weeks before COVID hit. Once the lockdown started and here in Brazil was pretty heavy, we are just, let's be together. So that's it. We married because of COVID and we are not together because of it, but helped us.
Yeah. And then how many kiddos do you have?
We have three kids. I have older daughter from my first marriage. She has a boy off her first marriage, and we have a son together.
Got it. And how old? So the three kids, so how old are each one?
My girl will be 8 next week. Our mid boy just turned 6 and 3.
Wow. So you done or are there more on the way?
Oh, we are done. I wish I had more to give them and more brothers, more sisters to give them. But I think I don't have the energy to have more kids, not in here, not in Brazil.
Yeah. So in Brazil, where is it that you live in Brazil? What's the kind of the vibe of where you're at?
I live in Brasilia. That's the capital of Brazil. It's right in the center of the country. It's Texas climate, like okay. Super dry. It's right in the middle of the country.
Okay. Love it, dude. And then I know you mentioned you have several things that you do, one of them being CrossFit. What are the other things that you do providing value out in the world?
Wow. Wow. That's a lot. So my main job, I'm a father. So I stay with my kids from the moment they wake up. I make them lunch and then I drive them to school. And then I work as a data analyst for CrossFit, where I gather all the data that the company produces and I make sense of this data for the other folks. And I have my gym. I have a CrossFit affiliate. I have business partners that help me run that. I coach there 2 times a week. And on the weekends, I coach CrossFit courses. So I coach CrossFit level 1 courses, level 2, and CrossFit Kids courses. That's where we teach trainers how to coach kids. And in the meantime, I try to do some side jobs and I also coach online if CrossFit asks me to.
Dude, I love it, bro. Oh, I love it. You have a passion for the CrossFit training of kids. So kids in health and fitness. So talk to me about that. This has become a pretty important part of your life, lifestyle, right? Not just is it for you and your body, but how does that trickle down to your kids? Let's ask that first. So how does health and fitness trickle down to your kiddos?
I try to make that a big part of our lives. I like to have them here at my gym, see me working out. So I like to have them here watching me do my workout and playing around. So they are allowed to walk in here. It's my home gym. We also built the house. So we rearranged the furniture. We added some pull-up bars, some rings, so they can play around. They are pretty free to play around the house. We have a bunker bed where they can climb and jump from it. We have a bunch of mattresses. We try to make the house moving lifestyle house. They are allowed to climb and move and jump and play around, but we can go outside and have the same amount of fun as we have inside. So we go outside, climb trees, and it's mostly climbing because that's the most natural things that kids like to do. It's climbing and jumping. So we give them the opportunity to have these as much as they want.
Dude, that's super cool to design your home in a manner really conducive to a fun, working, moving environment for the age of your kids versus the don't climb on that, don't sit on that, don't scratch that kind of mindset that I feel like a lot of homes will have.
At some point, we realized that some of the furniture, they were not playing friendly. So we just rearranged that or changed that because we don't want to be afraid of them breaking stuff. So we just get rid of it and we'll have it when they're older.
Yeah, that's cool. What's your belief around fitness, right? I think some people are like super intense about their fitness, but in the way that you're talking about it, it seems a bit more playful and fun.
Oh, yeah, it is. It was a big part of my life. I started in gymnastics and then I met the karate. I started karate mat and then karate mat, some jujitsu. So my background was mostly fighting. So it was a lot of intense workouts. So I was always trying to be the best. And at some point, after 15 years, 20 years of that, I got exhausted and I realized there was no fun in it. So I met parkour. During my parkour journey, I met amazing people using their bodies to have fun. And then this changed for me. This clicked so hard that I decided that everything I'm going to do, I'm going to have fun using my body. So if I'm hiking, I'm having fun hiking. If I'm doing a CrossFit workout, even the hardest one, I need to have fun. It's not a struggle. It's fun. It's supposed to be fun. And when I met the CrossFit Kids methodology, one of the pillars is fun. Then everything makes sense. So I need to give kids and all those adults the opportunity to have fun while working out. So for me, it's, can you use your body?
Yeah.
So that's the goal.
Man, it's so good. And I think, I don't know what it is, being a dude, thinking about fitness, I think I've done it in an intense way. Whereas as I've got into CrossFit more and read like Glassman stuff, that this is supposed to not just be an end in its own, but that this is supposed to go support what you want to go do in life, right? Like you want to have functional movement. How important is it to you for your kids to understand like the purpose of fitness is not like you check into a gym and then you go home. It's like a lifestyle of being healthy. What do you think about that? And how do you communicate that to your kids?
Fitness is about choices, actually. So everything you choose in your life must drive you to the goal of being fit and not being fit like being super jacked awesome dude, but you know that this is the only body you have for the rest of your life. So take care of it. So when I try to teach my kids what I never learned, that is how to have a good relationship with my body. So the fuel that I take in, the food that I'm taking to have pleasure in the good food, in the natural fruits, vegetables, meats, seeds, to have pleasure in making my own food with my kids and moving as a way of having fun. So when we create a good relationship, then it's not an obligation anymore. It's just a way of living and a way of enjoying your life.
We do not do a good job of teaching our kids to have a good relationship with their food and nutrition. How do you have those conversations with your kids and or balance it with, like, we still eat pizza or we still do have ice cream or whatever, but so much of our culture, at least, seems like in America is like sweets all the time, treats all the time. I don't know if you feel that's the same, if there's a wrestle with your kids over that, or if it's just you've started them so young because you've been into this for the last 15 years that it's just like part of your guys' lifestyle and it's not really a fight with them.
It's actually the same here in Brazil. So we have a lot of processed food. We have a lot of easy access to crap food. But in the same time, it's also very available fruits, seasoned fruits. So we have seasoned fruits. They come from local farms. So they are very available to us. So instead of going to a supermarket, we go to small fairs, to farmers market. And we take the kids there and we show them what real food is. So once they see processed food, a food that they did not buy, they can realize, they notice that it's not the same thing that they are buying. We try to create on their mind one thing that I want to make it clear here, sorry.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as bad food and good food. No, imagine sweets, candies. They're not a bad food. It depends on what's your relationship with that. If you have candies every day for every meal, then that's a bad thing for you. It's bad for your health. Maybe good for other things like mental health or something like that, but it's bad for your health. There's no such thing as bad food and good food, but you want to have the most nutritious food more. So you want to have more of the food that feeds you the best. That's what we teach our kids. So we go to the market fair and we have good, real food. So that's good in real food. And then you have that. And that's the biggest part of our meals, real food. And then if we go to your birthday party, hey, can we have some candies? Sure, you can. You never had it for the past 10 days. You're from heaven. So it's also about teaching them control. Because me and my wife, we think that if we just say no to every single piece of candy, you know what? They are going to take it. They are going to ask someone else or ask a grandparent, for example, and they are going to take it. And they are going to hide from us that they are having the candy.
Yeah, what you're saying is really good, I think, because I think sometimes as dads, it's easier to say all or nothing. Like, we just don't do this. But you don't want to put your kid in a situation where they feel like they have to lie, right? And then you're really focused on building their character. And then the other thing, too, is what happens when they're 18, 19 and they leave the house, right? They're just going to go ape shit because they're not going to know how to have control. And that's really opportunity. And I've been learning this as I've been focusing on my food more the last couple of years, and even with my kids talking about it more, is eating for your body's activity level, for example, like CrossFit terminology. When you start to do that and you start to practice having a will and having a control around it, it really helps you to have more control in other aspects of your life, because it's just food is so prevalent in front of your face all the time. And so if you can work with your kids on that, you're setting them up for such success in decision-making the rest of their life.
Exactly. That's our goal, is that they can make the good choices by themselves.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. Tomorrow, my youngest, he has a picnic. Here in Brazil, it's very common, close to festivities. He is only three. Close to festivities, they gather the kids from school, and each one of them bring a piece of food, like a plate. And it's all in front of them, and they grab whatever they are used to, whatever they like the most. And I know that he's going to make good choices and bad choices for his health, but he's probably making more good choices because he used to eat in a certain way
right.
that he eats right.
Now, before we move on to some other father questions, anything that you would encourage dads around when it comes to either nutrition or fitness with their kids, anywhere from ages 5 to 15, 16, 17, is there anything you would encourage or inspire them around from your beliefs around it?
I think the first thing, I cannot over-talk about this, is to have fun and to do this with the kids. I think the thing that most people miss is to do things with their kids. If you cannot have a different food than your kids are having. Oh, but I'm on a diet. It doesn't matter. So you don't eat close to them, or you make a small plate of what they are eating, and then you will go to your diet. I see a couple of friends that they eat super clean, and to their kids, they add some pasta or some extra carbs. And if it's not good for you, why do you think that's good for them? And if they look at your plate and it's different from what it's on their plate, they're going to have less opportunities to make good choices because they mirror us. They copy what they see us doing.
Right.
And I think that's the same with everything. If they never see you exercising, they're not going to see that this is an important thing of your life. They never see you working, for example. I never knew what my parents did for a living until I turned 20.
Wow.
That's weird. I never been to my parents' work. And I think that they need to know what work is because kids have this imaginary thing of what work means. But we need to show them that sometimes it's struggle. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad.
Yeah. Dude, I think that's so good. Like, dads, take your kids to work. And I've been doing this lately. So I have 3 of my kids are homeschooled. And I told them, hey, if they're going to be homeschooled, they got to go to work with me sometimes. And I've taken them to business meetings where I didn't tell the person I was meeting that I was bringing my 14-year-old kid with me. And at first, it was like a little awkward. But then it turned out to be just incredible for my kid to see how I communicate with another business owner or adult or whatever. And then for me to invite them into the conversation, oh, Presley, what do you think about this? Or asking the gentleman I'm meeting with, hey, what's something you teach my daughter about business? And you with bringing your kids and having them be a part of the gym, part of the lifestyle. I think we definitely as fathers need to bring that back and not have it so separate what you do from your kids knowing about it. So I think that's really powerful.
Yeah. And I think it expands from that. I think even the smaller chores, like going buy some hardware, for example, so take the kids. So we have this thing at home to be fixed. Hey, you want to ride with me and go buy this stuff? And so just take them to buy the stuff or to fix stuff. I learned a lot from my fathers. I had 2 fathers growing up, but I learned a lot about making stuff at home myself because I saw them doing it by themselves. And so every time I need to do something at home, I invite them to pick up the tools, to wash the dishes, anything. They are always invited. Still, they are too young to be obligated, but it will get to the age where I'll make them do some stuff. For example, it's your turn to do the dishes, this and that.
So guys, I want you to hear a word that Rodrigo said that's really powerful, especially when you think about the younger kids. So if you've got that 2 to 5-year-old kid, it's a freaking heck of a lot easier to fix this or to go do X, Y, or Z without that kid's presence, right? You can't even say help. Yeah. It's not help. But the word you said was invitation, right? Invite them. The thing is like from 2 to 6, 7, we're like, leave me alone. I'm going to fix this myself. You're getting in the way. So then why would we expect that from 8 to 17, they want to come along and help us, right? Or from 18 beyond, be able to either do it themselves. And so I think when those kids are little, invite them to do this thing with you, although it might take longer, so that then when they do become helpful or obligated was the other word, that then you can call them into now stepping into some of the house chores in a different manner. So tell me, since you said you had 2 men speaking into your life growing up, what was it that each father gave you? And then what was it that you wish they would have given you?
Wow. So I had 2 fathers. One was my real blood father. He divorced my mother when I was 1. So I saw him during the weekends. And I was the only link between him and my mother because they did not speak until I turned 19. And he was the fun father. So during the weekends, I was always having fun with him. So we played video games, we played soccer, we played a bunch of stuff. We went outside, we watched movies, songs. So I learned from him to have fun. Mm-hmm. But also, he taught me that during the weekends, you need to do some house chores. You have to fix things that you didn't have the time during the week. So you had to prepare for the next week. Mm-hmm. And this kind of stuff. So he taught me how to weekends could be with the kids. And my mother's second husband, who raised me from 2 to 12, he was the tough one. He was strict with me, but he also taught me about discipline. Mm-hmm. So he's the one that told me from early age that I should fix my bed. Things must be in the same place. Let me put this in a better way, in the way that he taught me. Things must need an address. For example, if you're always missing your car keys, it's because they don't have an address. If your car keys have the right address at your place, you never miss them. You never lose them. Yeah. So things need to have an address. And this is one thing that my whole life was designed around this. My whole house is designed around this. Things have an address. So I can walk blindfolded in my house and I know where stuff are. So this discipline of putting my things away and organizing, that's what my second father taught me. And I try to bring both when raising my kids. So mm-hmm. I try to have fun with them, but still we need to have discipline. We have our chores. So if you are not playing with this Lego anymore, then put away. If mm-hmm. you're not playing with your Hot Wheels anymore, then put away. And this kind of stuff. And when they lose something, you say, hey, why did you lose that? Do you know where it was and where did you put it? I make them think about organizing stuff. So I try to balance both.
Man, I'm going to tell you, bro, I've done like 400 episodes or something like that. And I feel like guaranteed this nugget of things have an address is going to be the thing that most dads take out of all these episodes. That thing's going to be said by so many dads. It's going to get passed down for generations. I love that. Things have an address. I'll probably end up saying that to my kids today. And then the idea that I could walk through my house blindfolded. Dude, what's the thing we're losing all the time? What is it? Phone, remote control, so many things. And if everybody knew the address to this thing. See, that's the other thing that I'm finding. I've been married almost 20 years. There's so many unspoken expectations, right? Like I have unspoken expectations with my wife and kids. How the frick are they supposed to know? They just know dad gets really weird about the remotes. How about I say that the remote always goes right here? This is its address. I love it, dude. And the thing is that you teach your kid that this is where this thing belongs. It's going to happen over time. Just take practice.
I think especially in the first year, second year of the marriage, I was expecting her to know this.
Yeah.
This is something that I was raised knowing.
Right.
So I had to teach my wife the same way that I teach my kids. Say, hey, and she was always running and say, hey, where are my glasses? I said, I don't know. Where did you put them? And she was, I don't know. Once I find her glasses, anytime I'm walking around, I find her glasses, I just take them and put them in the place that I decided is the address for the glasses. So I do that every day. Every day she goes there and finds her glasses there. Mm-hmm. And I was sometimes pissed off, mad, because she was not finding her stuff. And then I said, if I am the one to organize stuff, I'll do that. I'll make her life easier. Until she realizes that she can too. So she can find address, decide address for the stuff. And this happened. After 2 years, she was at some point putting her stuff in the same place.
Dude, that's awesome. I love it. Yeah, I think that's just so powerful. And such an easy tool. It's easy. Just do it. All right. In your opinion, Rodrigo, what is the role of the father? And if you feel like there's any flair that's any kind of different from the perspective of a father in Brazil, share that with us. What do you think the role of the father is? And is it any different?
Yeah, I think that here in Brazil, I've been listening to your podcast and I've been hearing to a lot of people and everybody talks about providing. I think mm-hmm. that's it. We need to provide, but we always close providing with money. So it's financial. So we need to provide financial stability. We need to provide our family with stability. That means we need to give them enough money so they can have a good home, healthcare, food, education. So I think that we close to these lists too much. And a lot of homes, a lot of friends of mine live inside this list. So if they are bringing enough income to the house, that's okay. I don't need to do anything else.
Mm.
But because I was not raised 100% with one parent or with one father, because my parents, most of the time they were working, and I do miss a lot being with my father, being with my mother. I think that our job as a father is also to be there. Be there for whatever they need. So the kids need to know that you are there. If they go to you to ask something, you need to be there for them. So you need to be available. Of course, we are not going to be 100% of the time available, but you need to create spaces where you can hear them and they can trust you, that you are listening and that you are giving enough advices or helping them solve the problem. That's one thing. So be there. I think the third thing a father needs to be or needs to do is to provide enough challenges for them to develop. We need to provide our kids with enough challenges. So that's the opposite of doing everything for them. I think that's one thing that the younger generations, they got too much. So parents doing too much for them. Here in Brazil, it's like an epidemic of kids that don't know to do basic stuff. In their 15 to 25 year olds, they don't know to do basic stuff. Okay, so I think we need to provide them with enough challenges that they learn how to do stuff on their own. I think that we need to teach them how to deal with these small challenges. We need to teach them how to deal with small dangers. Dangerous, right?
Yeah. My friends, sorry for this quick interruption. However, somewhat sadly, I get more questions from dudes about fitness than I do about fatherhood. But what I've found is that the fathers who start taking care of their fitness and nutrition end up finding fatherhood, marriage, work, and all other aspects of life come into a deeper clarity of purpose, enjoyment, and fulfillment. Now, I've partnered with Rise Up Kings to launch Ruck Fitness, a transformative program that is less focused on a six-pack in 90 days and more focused on you creating the habits, mindset, and lifestyle that will allow you to be a healthy asset to your family for decades. Come join me in a transformative journey to become the man you want to see in the mirror. Go check it out, www.rebelandcreate.com/fitness. Now back to the show. What are some things when you think of a 15 to 25 year old, because I feel the same way. I mean, this is a funny example. I just took my daughter to go to her colleges because she's going to go to college next year. And one of these things that was a perk from this college was there's two perks that I was shocked that this college offered. One was somebody came through and cleaned all the bathrooms, the ones in the dorms. And then the other one is if you wanted to pay a little extra, somebody would do all of your laundry. Now, I can understand from a sanitization stance why the school would consider this, but now you're taking these 18 to 22 year olds and still not letting them grow up. They should know how to do their own freaking laundry, not just how to do it, but the responsibility of it's Thursday night, all my underwear's dirty. Should I go out partying or should I do my laundry? Okay, I need to take responsibility. So like delaying them taking responsibility. Are there things that you see from a 15 to 25 year old that you go, man, these kids can't do X, Y, or Z? Is there anything stand out to you?
I think you said the right stuff. Laundry, for example. I lived through that. I moved out when I was 18, started working, paying my bills and all, but I didn't know how to cook, didn't know how to do my laundry. So I smelled. At 18, I was smelling. It was not the bad smell. It's because I was adding too much soap.
That's soap.
So I was like smelling this perfume and this weird no perfume.
Oh,
and
so this good.
And so I went to my mother's place during summer vacation. And I asked her if she could please teach me how to cook and do my laundry. So I had this internship for 15 days
during
summer where she taught me how to do this stuff. And I had to struggle to realize that I needed to know that. I'm the oldest, so she realized she never taught me this stuff before. And now my girl, she knows how to do the laundry. She knows how to pick up stuff, putting the laundry, how much soap and this and that. Because I struggled before. And yeah. I think that is more in cooking. I think cooking is one thing that people take for granted.
Yes, yes.
And so if you don't know how to cook basic stuff like rice, eggs, potatoes, and vegetables, you just go and buy junk food here in Brazil from the people that I live with. From 15 to 25, they all have credit cards. So they can all order food their parents are going to pay for. Credit cards that their parents pay for. So they all order food instead of learning to do stuff. And all of a sudden, they are overweighted, poor health, and a lot of stuff that could be avoided by simply cooking their own food. And I don't know, basically, here in Brazil, there is one thing that I love in the U.S. that here in Brazil is still a thing. Here in Brazil, there is a person in the gas station that fills your tank.
Mm.
And in the U.S., there isn't. You go there, you do the thing. You
pump, do it yourself.
You do it yourself. I remember when I was first time, I was 24, trying to fill my tank in the U.S. And I was like, wow, where is the guy that does that? Where is the instructions? So I think that's basic stuff, like filling your gas, changing your oil, car stuff, and paying your taxes. That's annoying to learn. Why don't we teach kids when they are 10, 12, how to pay their taxes?
Yeah.
So I think this basic stuff, just simple life stuff.
Yeah. So I think the thing that I'm hearing a lot lately is more like creating margin and simplicity to some level. Like some of these basic things, they don't have to be looked at as a chore. Doing the laundry or cooking dinner, they don't have to be chores. It can be an opportunity to do this alongside your kid or with your kid. Now, they're going to perceive it as a chore at first, but if you're not stressed and annoyed that you have to do this, your kid just wants to be with you doing anything. So if you can make it just like you talked about with fitness, if you can make it fun where we're doing the laundry, cracking jokes, or we're folding the laundry, having a conversation, or we're making dinner or learning how to make something new together. I mean, I remember one night everybody was gone except me and one of my daughters. And I'm like, okay, what can I do with her? What can I do? And so I gave her a couple of ideas. And one of the ideas was go online and find a recipe for anything and we'll try to make it. And so she did that. So she found a recipe. We made a list. And that's what we did for our entire evening. We had to go find a fish market. We went to the store. We found ingredients we didn't really know much about. And then we came home and made the food. And that was our whole evening together. It was great. There was far more interaction than if she would have chosen to go see a movie or whatever, which that's fine. See a movie. But my point is, some of these things that we look at as a chore, getting gas, let your five-year-old get out of the car and pump the gas with you. They're just stoked to spend time with you. I love that stuff. Rodrigo, in being a father, what have you learned about yourself? In everything we do in life, there's struggle and we learn something about ourselves and we grow. What's something you've learned about yourself through being a father or grown in?
I think the biggest thing that I learned when I realized that I love my kids so much that I would give my life to them. Mm. I love my kids so much that I give up free time, leisure time, sleep, a lot of things that I give up for my kids. I love them so badly that I need to say sorry to my mother and father more.
Mm.
Because I think that I disappointed them. And I think that's okay that as kids, we are supposed to disappoint our fathers, our parents. But I think that I did not appreciate my mother, how much my mother and my father did for me growing up. And I think that I started to love more my parents when I had kids.
Ah, man, that's good. Did you find a rekindling or reconnection? I don't know. I don't want to say spending more time, but a value in the relationship with your parents in having kids?
Yeah, I started to value more quality time with them. So simple stuff like, hey, can we have lunch once a week? So organizing these small trips that they can interact with my kids and I can interact with them and know about their lives, that's what I started to value more.
Mm, that's great. Now, I hear a lot of fathers struggle in becoming a father. So when you think about becoming a father, from the moment you heard you're going to be a dad to the baby's born, to the baby's walking, to the baby's going to kindergarten or whatever school, at what point did you embrace fatherhood? I think sometimes right when we hear you're going to be a dad, we're just super excited, ready to go. And then for some dads, it's not till the kid's like two or three and they can interact with them. At what point for you did you go, fatherhood matters big time, and you really leaned into it?
Always. I'm going to say always, but I always wanted to be a father. So I had this miscarriage when I was 16 with my girlfriend at the time. So we had a miscarriage there, and there was always this missing part. And now thinking back, I said, if I had now, he would be 21. If I had a 21-year-old at home, it'd be super weird, but I would love that. So I always had this missing piece inside of me.
Wow.
I was married for 6 years before my wife got pregnant to our daughter. And it was me. I wanted a kid so bad. And I just wanted to fill that void inside of me. And I always wanted to be there. When I decided to divorce my ex-wife, this was one thing, that our relationship was bad.
Yeah,
we were bad to each other. I did not want this to affect my daughter.
Yeah, yeah, to affect her. Yeah.
Affect all the hurt we were giving each other. So I had this serious talk and said, hey, we are not doing good for ourselves. Let's break apart and be parents, because we are better parents than we are a couple. And it was the best choice. She was pissed at me, but she realized that 3 months in that we were better separated.
Yeah.
And we are better parents now that we are separated.
Yeah. Man, that's good. Thanks for sharing both of those things, because those are real, the miscarriage and the divorce. Those are just real realities that a lot of people experience in life. Life is just messy. The reality is life is messy. There isn't the whole idea of perfect, I don't think exists. I think life happens and we have choices. Like you said, fitness is choices, right? Life is just choices. And there are going to be choices we make that are good. And then there are going to be choices that we make that, it's not that they were bad, just like you said about food. Dude, that's lining up perfectly. It's that they can be messier than other choices, but we learn from those things. And that comes back to what you talked about with kids, is we have to let kids experience some danger and some challenges, because life is just one long experience. The human experience is choices.
Exactly. And I think we own them that, because we brought them to the world. So we own that. Possibilities to grow, these possibilities to be better than we were, to raise them better than we were.
Man, I had this moment last night where my daughter was talking to me. She's 18. She's sitting across from the dinner table. We're sitting outside. Our dinner table's outside. And I was like, she's half of me, right? Like, I brought her into the world. So the way you say it, we owe it to them. She's sharing this experience that to me is like this dramatic teenager girl experience. I'm like, and slowly my mind's disengaging from it. But in the moment, I'm like, dude, she's willing to talk to you. She's wanting to share this with you. And she's half you. She's just an 18 girl version of half of who you were at 18, right? Obviously, she's her own person, but there's this connection that I owe it to her to listen, to connect, to be a part of her story. So I love how you said that.
It is so... That's my goal. I want my daughter to come to me. I want my boys to come to me and say, hey, can I talk to you about something? And they trust that I am going to listen.
Yes.
So I want that for them. I want to be there. I think that's the biggest part. I think that's the missing piece I felt growing up, and that I want to be there for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I love how you, when I asked what the role of the father was, you talked about this whole idea around providing, which is great. Yes, do that. But don't let that be the thing that lets you off the hook for the most important stuff, which is being there. And then maybe you do choose a job or a career or a house or whatever that's less than what you want, whatever, so that you have more time. Powerful. Dude, Rodrigo, this has been so fun talking about fatherhood with you. I do have one final question to ask you, but before I ask it, is there anything we missed, anything that you want to share with a father before I ask my final question?
I think that one thing that fathers look too much, it's what they are missing. I caught myself thinking about that. What am I missing by being here, being a father? and we lose track of how much we are gaining. Just look at them and look how much joy they can bring you to, how much more you can do with them than without them.
Dude, what you're saying is so incredible. And I'm brought to this moment. I don't know if you've experienced this or anybody's experiencing this, but have you ever wanted to go do something with the guys or go do a trip with the guys or something? And you're on that trip. And when you're on that trip, you're just like, oh my God, why am I here? What am I doing? I miss my kids so much. But you think, I just want to be doing this all the time. Have you experienced that before?
Oh yeah. Well, I had my first experience judging the CrossFit Games. That's our world championship of CrossFit Games. I had my first experience judging it in 2022. And I asked my wife, hey, can you take a month vacation from family? Because I work at home. So I asked my boss, that's my wife, can I take a month vacation? And I want to ride a motorcycle in Texas. And I went to Texas, rented a motorcycle, and I was riding for 15 days all alone. And every stop I made, every museum, every restaurant, I wish they were there.
Oh.
This was like, I enjoyed every piece of it.
Yeah.
It was awesome, but would be more awesome with them.
Yes. Oh, dude, that's such a great story. And it's not that you should have brought them. If you need that, I think that's also important, right? You needed that time to also just reinforce, dude, fatherhood's where it's at. I love this. Oh man, that's incredible. All right, brother, here's my last question for you. It's a legacy question. So imagine 40 years from now, you're potentially coming to the tail end of your life. You're standing out in the street. You're looking into the homes of your children. What is it that you see playing out in their homes that just puts a big smile on your face, a tear in your eye, knowing that you showed up and you gave it your all?
Wow, big one. I wasn't expecting that. I think that in the future, if I'm there looking back, I would love to see that I've made a positive impact in the world. Like I made a positive change in people's life.
Mm.
Right now, I'm walking the path of changing and helping people have a better life, a better relationship with their body, how to use their body better through fitness, through eating well. And I hope that once my kids can grow up and they have that inside their bones, inside their hearts,
mm-hmm.
they can share that, and we can make big spread of you need to be healthy, you need to be happy, and you need to have family around you that supports, that lives the same language that you are wanting to live. So in the future, when I look back, I want to look at myself, see, I made a positive impact in people's lives by making them realize they can do more with their bodies.
Dude, I think that the way that you answer the question, it's like you are living that out. Right? It wasn't just about your kids having a nutrition and fitness lifestyle, not for the sake of, yes, being elite, but also what's possible with your body, being a good steward and responsible with this gift of a life you have. But the way you shared is it's not just about your kids. It's about everybody, like the whole community, that you are just, this lifestyle is impacting everyone around. And your kids are seeing that. They get to come to your gym and see that's what you're doing. And they're going to continue to have positive impact on people around them because they see you setting that example. Rodrigo, dude, thank you for sharing some of your life with me. Thank you for sharing your stories, your time. I know we're in different places, different time zones, and it's just been such a treat and the honor and a pleasure to get to know you and to get to learn about your life.
Likewise, thank you for having me. I was super stoked with the invitations. Thank you so much. And this is not a job. This is a life. Raising those kids is just my life. And to realize that I had something to share with people made me well. Made me so good to have someone realize that it is that I'm doing that can be an example for others.
Bro, you are such a great example of a human being dedicating your life to having a great life yourself and then making sure that everyone you have contact with is also making the most of this life. So thank you for the way you show up. Thank you for the way you love people. Keep being you. And I look forward to staying connected to you.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, brother. Until next time.
See you.
What an incredible conversation. I so enjoyed connecting with Rodrigo. Life is so awesome. We're in a CrossFit class and now we're talking fatherhood. He's in Brazil. I'm in Hawaii. You guys, after the show, he just shared with me how incredible it was to be noticed as a father. And it was just something simple he said, that he had three kids, and the way he talked about them is what led us to have this last conversation. Every single one of you has something to give. Now, whether it's in a book or a podcast or whatever, it doesn't necessarily matter as much, but are you giving that gift to other dads? Are you noticing other dads? Are you saying, hey, dude, you're a great dad? There isn't a better compliment you could really give a man to say, hey, I see you showing up for your family. You're providing well, not just financially, but spiritually, mentally, with your presence. So take the opportunity and encourage and inspire other dads. Now, if this podcast is doing that for you, these conversations are helpful, please write a review, and even better, share it with somebody. Say, yo, listen to this. I think you would dig it. It just helps spread the word that fatherhood matters. And dudes, it matters. Like, my kids could marry your kids. So this can't just be you and I leveling up over fatherhood. We have to encourage everyone around us to do. We need family to be a priority. Around the world, family is where we learn connection, belonging, patience, love, kindness, all these things. It happens in the home, and it starts with you and I showing up and encouraging other men to do the same. All right, you dudes, thank you to everybody listening to Fatherhood Field Notes podcast. What you do matters. Don't be like everybody else. Be yourself. That's who your kid, spouse, and community needs. This is your guide, Ned Schaut. Together, let's rebel against the view that fatherhood has little impact and create lives engaged in mastering the craft of fatherhood. I look forward to hanging out with you next time.